Good morning and afternoon to everyone, wherever you may be, and thanks for joining us on this podcast. My name is Amish. I'll be firing some questions along, and then today we have Craig Govender. He's a physiotherapist himself, and comes from Joburg, been around, I guess, for a couple of years, but we're going to get to know him. I think I came up with hopefully it's a good phrase. I don't know if Craig likes it too much, but we're calling it catching up with Craig. I want to say thanks to Craig for putting out some time aside in his busy day, his busy schedule and life to hop on this. And Craig, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me here. I appreciate it. It's a great honor.
So Craig, of course, as I've said, we're just going to get to know you today, and I'm going to fire some questions along, and you obviously more than welcome to pose some questions or just thought-provoking things, which I think is pretty cool. I think you have a lot of vast knowledge and experience in your field. So how long, or give us a bit of background. Who are you? What makes Craig?
Yeah, I'm from Durban, from a place called Karwistan in Chatsworth. That's where my entire family is at the moment. So I've been a man on a mission since school with the dream of being the Proteus cricket physiotherapist. So it's always been a dream of mine, or was a dream of mine, which I eventually got to in 2017. So it's just cricket, passionate about it, passionate about physiotherapy, and just to improve the profession and sports in general.
So as like you said, cricket's probably been a part of your life like from a young age. Did you ever play cricket yourself?
Loads. In my community of Karwistan, I went to Erica Primary, where I played a bit. Baker's Mini Cricket came along and actually didn't play for the school. I went to watch my friends. And then in high school, like Karwistan Secondary, we didn't have formal cricket. So I played for Chatsworth United Cricket Club, where I played a lot. I was a leg spinner. I love leg spin. I still toil and bowl a lot. And Shane Warne was a big hero of mine, cricket hero. And in grade 11, his coach actually came down to South Africa, Terry Jenner.
Yeah.
And he saw rest in peace.
Yeah.
He came down and he did some clinics, and I was fortunate to be part of those clinics as well. So leg spin, cricket, played a lot.
And did you have any? And of course, you said you've played. Did you have any ambitions to, I know you said Proteus physiotherapist was one of your goals in life, and of course, kudos to you for achieving that. And did you ever think of pursuing a career in cricket, playing yourself?
Not really. I don't think I saw it as a profession because I didn't have any formal type of cricket coaching growing up. So it was just a passion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. No, awesome. And I think a lot of people, especially growing up, they find a love for the sport, and especially, I also, found love for the sport, had this dream of potentially going professional in the playing side. And now I've also kind of not flipped, but want to be involved in the sport that you love. Mm-hmm. And do you find that working in a sport that you've had a passion for kind of makes the days go by quicker on a daily basis, working with teams, working with athletes, working with people that you can relate to?
Yeah, no doubt. I had a conversation with one of the players yesterday, actually, and he says, you're going to the IPL now and you're going to be working long hours. I said, long hours doesn't matter to me. I love doing physiotherapy and being part of a cricket environment, and time never influenced me at all. So I would work until I make sure it's quite easy at work.
I can only imagine. Did you ever along the way work in any other sports besides cricket?
As a physio that wants to get to sport, you have to do a lot of stuff, other types of sports. And rugby, I did a bit of club rugby games in Cape Town, went to the All Africa Games with the national men's volleyball team as well. I did a few other sports. Okay. Soccer, Santos in Cape Town. Did a bit.
Okay. Oh, nice. And I know I've also worked in sport, and people probably on that are going to be listening to this have also, worked in sport and understand sports kind of moving forward in a way, or maybe not moving forward. It's just kind of growing on everyone at the moment. It's It's a bit of a virus itself, like all these leagues popping up, all these new teams. And of course, it's really great for people in our industry. I mean, it's opportunities to work, opportunities to travel and things like that. But at the end of the day, you're also a guy with a family and like things like that. So how do you, like you say you go to the IPL and like have a big tournament, which we can touch on later, but it's a lot of strain on your, call it your personal life and, you know, your family. How do you find, people talk about a work-life balance. How do you find that balance, or how do you control that if you can?
Yeah, it's extremely tough. I have a very accommodative wife. Pranita is amazing. She's been there since I was at the Lions. So started the Lions in 2010 and we met around that time. So since my cricket journey began in professional cricket, she was always around. And yeah, not even my wife, my parents are back in Durban with my brother, and leaving home to go to Cape Town to study and not getting back home to Karwistan since 2001. It's been challenging because you don't always have your parent and brother support around. But there I found Pranita and we found each other, and she's been critical in my growth and allowing me to live that passion. But their passion can't continue forever. Yeah. And that's when it stopped last year with the Proteas. Yeah, you just can't do it forever. I mean, it's quite straining on travel days. COVID was quite tough. I mean, for 2 years, we were in this exotic bubble. Yeah. where you couldn't get out a lot. So, yeah, it made you reflect and think about things and the more important things, which is family. For me, and like you said, now with IPL coming about, it's about a 2.5 month to 3 month trip, but it's not as long as an international journey, so to say. But yeah, Pranita can come across whenever she wants, and that helps quite a lot.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing that like these big tournaments or teams and people that are involved, like they also accommodate and understand that people have other lives outside of the team environment, which is cool. And yeah, it's, I don't know, I just find it fascinating. Of course, like, I mean, I'm sure you are. Okay, wait, firstly, who do you support in the Premier League? I think that's a very important question.
We're looking for a new manager for next season.
Okay.
Just one.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess you have one trophy this season.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even want to say mine, but yeah, we're nowhere near you guys at the moment. The other red team.
Yeah.
Man United, but anyway, let's not talk about that. But yeah, I think it's even looking at like a Premier League season and how often these players play. There's some players, like especially like, let's say, okay, from a physiotherapist or team coaching perspective, yeah, you guys can kind of determine when you, or not determine, but you can kind of have a break in between when it comes to tournaments, like pick and choose, like, listen, I can't go to this tournament straight after this one because you have X, Y, and Z to cover or whatever it is. But sometimes these players don't really have a choice. They're getting paid big money. And you have tournament after tournament where sports basically don't have seasons anymore, if we're being honest. People and players play the whole year round. And it's, you know, it's actually scary to think that. I mean, I think I read an article, something about Sunil Narine, which I'm sure you've met and treated along the way, perhaps, is he was supposed to play in a tournament final the one day, and then they were going to fly him out that night or something to go play another match the next. And I'm just like, geez, guys, like, this is a human being we're talking about. It's not like it's not an object. And how do you find, like, I don't know how much you work with, maybe not mental health, but like physical strain, that all this traveling and playing so often, places on these players, like how have you had a conversation, or maybe it's research that you potentially tapped into? Like, how do you find that they personally find it? And what is your like personal view on that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's definitely happening around the world, and it's not going to stop. Players are moving from clubs, teams, the team, sometimes within the franchise brand, and sometimes not. Sometimes some international cricket to a league or vice versa. And yeah, players do take strain, no doubt. It's a lot of traveling. It's a lot of time away from family. Families are big for everyone. I mean, it's the same for support staff and players. And what you find now is a lot of teams allowing that to happen because there's an understanding of the strain that takes place and you need someone to be performing optimally. And how do you create an environment that allows someone to thrive and to be better and to perform at their best is when they're feeling a sense of safety and being able to be themselves and being able to speak to people. And a lot of the time it's understanding individuals and understanding who you're dealing with, getting a bit more insight about the person, about the player before the player gets there. That's a big part of my work is physiotherapy. You can diagnose an injury and treat an injury, but how you get a player back on a field is a different conversation. And sometimes you need a good relationship in order to gain trust and to gain that rapport with each other. So it's definitely something personal for me, and we all look to achieve that.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think like that's where you come into like, it's not only you, it's you communicating with the coach, and then it's the player, and it's the team doctor, and it's whether it's your sports scientist, your bio, whoever, we talk a lot. I mean, I'm sure you and your system talk a lot about the multidisciplinary approach, and it's that trust that you need to, at the end of the day.
Not multidisciplinary.
Yeah.
Interdisciplinary.
Sorry, pardon me. Yeah. So it's just, like for me, I find it's trust. And I feel like if everyone has the kind of same goal, which is the player's welfare and their performance, I think you're in a good space. So, which kind of brings me to the next point is like, of course, you've been involved in a lot of teams. I mean, I'm sure, let's start there. Which teams, I mean, maybe we don't have enough time, but how many or which teams are you currently working with? Have you worked with? And then, give us who's probably been your favorite or... Yeah, and then also maybe who's been your most tricky, just from that perspective.
Yeah, my most favorite team is UWC, University of the Western Cape. It's an amazing institution with great friends that we still chat all the time, and we loved our cricket and we loved helping each other along the way and all that good stuff. But that was amateur or not even. But as I went through my time, I worked with SA Universities, I worked with the National Academy. I worked with South African A teams and eventually got to the pro tiers, which was the ultimate dream. That was the best thing ever to get there in December 2017 under Faf du Plessis. He's become a great colleague and friend of mine now. We often speak about a lot of stuff and leadership in particular, share books. And he's been a great confidant to me as well, and always willing to chat.
Yeah.
That era was an amazing era for me. Hashim Amlas of the world, Dale Steyn, Vernon Philander. I mean, the names just roll off. And it was great to be part of AB de Villiers. That series against Australia was surreal. I'm not going to say what gate series it was, but that it was quite in your face. And South Africa to take on Australia, you don't have to pitch up. You're always raring to go. It was amazing. Yeah, and I got to get to a World Cup in 2019. The challenges and the stress levels were beyond expectation because you can't fathom that or you can't plan anything. But that pressure is something that I really enjoy. I enjoy the pressure and the stress that's around that. I thrive under that. Also went to two other T20 World Cups, one in Dubai and the last one being in Australia. Yeah, and then I'm now fortunate to be with the Mumbai Indians brand, an amazing brand itself. I mean, it was surreal when I got there for the first time. Didn't know a single person.
Yeah.
So to go into that environment, meeting Mahela Jayawardena for the first time and Sachin Tendulkar and sitting with them and sitting with Sachin near a table tennis table in our team room, and he spoke about his game at the Chatsworth Oval, which I was able to watch in India versus KZN 11. And he spoke about every single delivery. And some of my friends were playing there. Yadin Singh got the three wickets. You got Ganguly, Sehwag, and Tendulkar out, and Tendulkar knew every single ball. He spoke about it in detail. He knew everything. And all the players dealing with Rohit Sharma, unbelievable human being, and how he managed that process of the team and the sports staff around him. Yeah, I mean, going into my third IPL this year, going to probably leave on the 10th of March.
True, yeah.
So not too long. And dealing with all what comes with that, the preparation of it and the new players that's coming in and understanding them. Also part of the brand, being part of MI Cape Town, 2 seasons thus far. Yeah, so currently working with SA20 and IPL and still assisting in the South African cricket fraternity as the lead physio for CSA.
Okay.
That's
amazing. And like you said, you personally thrive under pressure, and like these are all high pressure environments or high performance environments. And yeah, like what, you know, like for you, I feel like you said it almost stimulates you or makes you perform better, you know, all these pressures and things like that. But what helps you to keep calm? I mean, or even if it's to help the players keep calm, you know, there's a lot going on, even outside just the game that you're involved in itself. And there's a lot of high pressure, like as much as the players have to perform, you yourself also, you know, have to perform in what you're doing. So how do you keep calm or focus or ensure, obviously it's a lot to do with your professionalism and probably the experiences you've gained over the years. But maybe if it's like a trick that maybe you were like, I wish I had known this a bit earlier in my career or developed this skill a bit earlier. Yeah, what's a bit of advice you'd maybe give to like a young up and coming potential practitioner that's going to work in a high performance space?
Yeah, to know that it's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
To know that it's every situation, every injury is going to be a challenge. It's not as easy as the next one. It's not going to be the same all the time. And to know that you got to keep your head down and you got to stay in your zone. I also get into, I was actually thinking about it the other day when my friend's a neurosurgeon, right? And he speaks about being in surgery and being the calmest he's ever been over his patient. And we often speak about these types of things and environment and stressful environments. But I think it's a place of peace for me as well, because I'm totally immersed in trying to get a player ready.
Yeah.
Your diagnosis and being sound in your diagnosis and knowing that you have a team around you that you develop over time, right? So wherever I'm in the world, I'm able to have a network that can assist me in getting to understand the diagnosis better, right? You know, we don't know everything. The day we know everything, no one knows everything.
Yeah.
No one. And there shouldn't be zero pride in any of us.
Yeah. 100%.
Because there's so many people that know the answers to a certain diagnosis. I mean, it's not, I'm a general practitioner, right? I'm treating various different injuries from a toe to a hip to a shoulder. And it varies, right? Whereas if you have a colleague or a surgeon who's specializing in lower backs and he's seeing that 24/7, he knows a lot more than you, than I do.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So for me, having a sound network, being able to reach out and learn from them all the time, and I probably do that almost every day. I'm chatting to people and networking with people better than I am.
But never stop learning, I guess, eh?
Yeah, no, you can't.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean, like you said, you work with all sorts of types of injury. And I mean, I'm sure even till today, you've seen stuff that in all your years, you've never seen once.
100%. I'm probably dealing with an injury currently that I've never treated in my career. So I'm going to go research it and I'm going to find out. I mean, like, I'm going to have to read about it. And you can't say you quit all. I mean,
exactly.
No doubt.
No, exactly. No, exactly. Yeah. That's amazing. And of course, like, who's probably been, like, I think you, like you said, which has probably been like your most interesting injury, if that's even the right question to ask, like an injury that you've always been like, yeah, no, but that one was the one that challenged me the most, or was like, yeah, something that you'll never, probably never forget, even if it was just because it was the person it happened to, for example. Yeah.
Yeah, currently, I think a big interest of mine is low backs and fast bowlers. I mean, that's the prognosis or the healing time for that is probably the most dependent on the stress fracture. And I've been blessed to be able to work with people in New Zealand and understand how to treat these types of injuries more objectively. So my mindset these days is more on objective measures and making sure that there's data available to make a player understand that he is progressing. No longer a thumb suck or your lumbar flexion or extension has improved by 1 centimeter. We're improving. You may feel better on VSA today, but not the other day.
Yeah.
So being more objective in how we're doing things, measuring things, being more clinical around those types of things.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's obviously, that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, just from my side, I think it's obviously pretty important that, I guess, players are at their optimal. And, you know, during the season and stuff like that, you obviously, like I said, you work with bowlers and batsmen. Who do you find, who do you actually think is, who's the softer one, the softer group? The batsmen or the bowlers?
No, there's no softies.
There's no softies in cricket.
There's hard men in batters, in fielders, in keepers, in bowlers. I mean,
love it.
Who's going to run through a wall for you?
No, definitely.
If you know them pretty well.
Definitely. And yeah, I think, like you said, there's a lot of people that you've met with regards to going into an environment where you don't know anyone, whether it's from the technical team or medical team to the team itself. Perhaps there's players that you've never, you know, treated and things like that. What's been like, this will probably be like my last, call it longish question, but with regards to like, what's been like your golden key to getting that trust as soon as possible? Because I know, like you said, the IPL is only 2-3 months. You have, and if you go into a team that you have no idea, 2-3 months, sometimes it takes people to even gain that trust. So how do you go into an environment and put yourself out there and be like, listen, I'm the guy that's going to, if something goes wrong, I'm your man. How do you gain that trust, or what have you found gains that trust quicker than maybe people expect it to?
Yeah, I think authenticity is always going to be out there, right? Someone's going to smell if you're fake or trying to lie to them. Being authentic has always been something that I strive to be, and knowing my limitations as well. I'm not going to lie to someone if I don't know the answer, right?
Yeah.
So just being myself. And one of my first questions in my subjective assessment when I'm ever meeting someone is, what's your favorite music?
Yeah.
And what don't you want me to talk about?
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to, in my treatment room, it's about creating an environment that's safe, that if you're coming in, I got YouTube on and we watching some videos or we watching something and your favorite band's playing and we just talking cricket. The best that I always had great times with Dale Steyn when we were together, and we never spoke cricket. It was about fishing and skateboarding and what's the next best van sneaker that we're gonna buy. Just detaching from cricket and detaching from, because you don't want to always listen to that.
Definitely, it
gets boring. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. No, amazing. And yeah, like I said, this is just, I hope we can hop on another call sometime soon. I know you, of course, leaving for the IPL, which I'd like to wish you everything of the best for, and wish you lots of wins and not a lot of injuries so that everyone's rearing to go.
Appreciate that.
But yeah, at the same time, this was great. Like I said, this is just the catch up, getting to know you, catching up with Craig, episode one. And thank you for taking time out of your day, and definitely have a lot of questions that I would like to get to, and hopefully we'll get to in the future. And just with that, obviously, you're doing amazing work. So keep up the good work. And for a huge franchise like the MI franchise to keep you on means that, like you said, that importance of trust and authenticity, that's something that the players are loving, the owners are loving. So yeah, obviously, from my eyes, I look up to you. Obviously, I'm not a physio myself, but just looking up to someone that's in the industry, in the sporting industry, obviously in a sport that I love, and seeing you on TV in these big leagues and obviously doing what you do, which is a passion of yours, is obviously something to look up to. And yeah, thank you for that, for inspiring people like me, I guess.
No, man, it's humbling. If you follow your passion, like I said, it's an amazing thing to know that time can continue and you can keep on working and you can keep on living what the dream you've always wanted to. And I guess that's what keeps me going. I mean, to be around the cricket field and still bowling to guys every day is just the cherry on the top. You mean, you know what I'm, that's not even pressure. Bowling to the guys now. So imagine. I love it.
Thanks. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for your time. And yeah, we'll chat again soon. Cheers.
Thank you, man. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.